Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtadarashta Shri Srimad Abhai Charan Bhakti Granta Samprabhupad Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Nama Achara Shira Stakur Ki Premse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Arvita Gadadhara Shri Vas Ali Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Radha Kun Shyama Kun Giri Kavadhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Ganga Mai ki, Yamuna Mai ki, Tulsi Devi ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Jainitai Gaur Pramananda. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to all glories to Shri Ganeshi Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Canto 4, Chapter 7. And text 56 to 61. So I'll read the verses before that, and then we will recite. So then, translation of purports to the previous verses by Srila Prabhupada. With all respect, Daksha worshipped Lord Shiva with his share of the remnants of the Yajna. After finishing the ritualistic sacrificial activities, He satisfied all the other demigods and the other people assembled there. Then, after finishing all these duties with the priest, he took a bath and was fully satisfied. Purport. Lord Rudra, Shiva, was properly worshipped with his share of the remnants of the Yajna. Yajna is Vishnu, and whatever prasad is offered to Vishnu is offered to everyone, even to Lord Shiva. Sridhar Swami also comments in this connection, Svena Bhagena, the remnants of the Yajna are offered to all the demigods and others. Thus worshipping the Supreme Lord Vishnu by the ritualistic performance of sacrifice, Daksha was completely situated on the religious path. Moreover, all the demigods who had assembled at the sacrifice blessed him that he may increase his piety, and they left. Purport. Although Daksha was considerably advanced in religious principles, he awaited the blessings of the demigods. Thus, the great sacrifice conducted by Daksha ended in harmony and peace. Text 58. Maitreya said, I have heard that after giving up the body, she had received from Daksha, Dakshayani, his daughter, took her birth in the kingdom of the Himalayas. She was born as the daughter of Mena. I heard this from authoritative source. Purport. Mena is also known as Menaka and is the wife of the king of the Himalayas. Text 59. Ambika, goddess Durga, who was also known as Dakshayini Sati, again accepted Lord Shiva as her husband. Just as different energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead act during the course of a new creation. Purport. According to the verse of the Vedic mantras, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has different varieties of energies. Shakti is feminine and the Lord is Purusha, masculine. It is the duty of the female to serve under the Supreme Purush. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, all living entities are marginal energies of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it is the duty of all living entities to serve the Supreme Person. Durga is the representation of this material world of both the marginal and external energies. And Lord Shiva is the representation of the Supreme Person. The connection of Lord Shiva and Ambika or Durga is external. Sati could not accept any husband but Lord Shiva. How Lord Shiva remarried Durga as Himavati, the daughter of the Himalayas, and how Kartikeya was born is a great story in itself. Text 16. Maitreya said, My dear Vidura, I heard this story of the Daksha Yajna, which was devastated by Lord Shiva, from Uddhava, a great devotee and a disciple of Brihaspati. So, now text 61. Idam pavitram param isha cheshtitam Yashasyam, Ayushyam, Aghaugha, Marshana, Yo, Nityada, Karnya, Naro, Nukirtayet, Dhunoti, Agham, Kaurava, Bhakti Bhavataha Idam Pavitram Param Ishtache Shitam यशस्या आयुष्यम अघावमर्शनम् यो नित्यदा कर्ण्या नरो निकीर्तयेत् धूनोति अघम् कौरव भक्ति भावतः इदं पवित्रं परम ईशचेषितम् यशस्यम् आयुष्यम् अघौघमर्शनम् यो नित्यदा कर्ण्य नरो नुकीर्तयेत् धूनोत्यु अघम् कौरव भक्ति भावतः इदं पवित्रं परम ईष्टचेषितम् यशस्यम् आयुष्यम् औघवमर्शनम् यो नित्यदा करण्यनारनुकीर्तयेत् धूनोत्यु अघम् कौरव भक्ति भावतः Idam, this, pavitram, pure, param, supreme, isha cheshtitam, pastime of the Supreme Lord, yashasyam, fame, ayushyam, long duration of life, aghagha marshanam, destroying sins. Yaha, who, nityada, always, akarnya, after hearing, naraha, a person, anukirtayet, should narrate. Dhunati clears off. Agham, material contamination. Kaurava, all descendant of Kuru. Bhakti Bhavataha, with faith and devotion. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya concluded, if one hears and again narrates with faith and devotion the story of Daksha Yagya as it was conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, then certainly one is cleared of all contamination of material existence or son of Kuru. So this is the conclusion of the seventh chapter. It was the great Daksha Yagya. And here we could actually see and understand the importance of rituals. Now, rituals as the conclusion of the rituals, as we see, must end connected to the Lord. If rituals, and be it whatever, is not connected to the Lord, it is not performed as a devotional service, it may help somewhat in some materialistic way, materialistic opulences, but ultimately it will not give us any good result. That we saw in the beginning of the sacrifice. The mood with which the sacrifice was performed was not right. And because of that, it seemed that it's going to be all finished, destroyed, and that would be the end. Fortunately for Daksha and for the others, then we saw the Lord Vishnu and his devotees being merciful, and he showed the conclusions how they should be performed. Because any yagya, the must be performed for somebody. Yagya means what? Means sacrifice. So, to perform sacrifice, then that's done for somebody. It's an austerity which we perform for ourselves. But sacrifice is done for somebody. Ultimately, sacrifice is done for developing, maintaining, and deepening relationships. So, when we perform the sacrifice, like, okay, we have a friend and we want to please him, so then we want to, okay, he has a birthday, we want to create something, so we may cook some nice feast for him. So we will sacrifice our time, our energy, and then cook something nice for him. And by that, then we will please him, because we will offer it to him. That's appreciated, because that deepens the relationships. He will be pleased, because probably will cook something which he likes, right? Not something which he hates. So that way then he will enjoy the meal, but he will also see that somebody cares. So he will feel that there is some shelter of the friendship, is there. So that way then developing relationships, for that the sacrifice is meant. And then ultimately, what is the reason for developing relationship in the material world? You have boys and girls, they are attracted. But this is not the real relationship. The attraction is not the point. You also get it in animals. You have a female dog and male dog. They are attracted, right? But for what? It's the sex. Nothing else. So then the material energy creates in such a way, so then the attraction for the sex then creates procreation, and then there will be new puppies. But that's not the point which human life should be addressing. Human life is on different level. So then the husband and the wife, they have relationship other than the sex. In proper relationship, which is connected with the Daiva Varnashram, meaning that Krishna is in the center, so the relationship should be based on that both of them want to go back to Godhead. Now, how will they do it is based on that they help each other to achieve it. So if they understand this point, then it's easy to cooperate, coordinate everything. And if there are some ways, sometimes maybe difficult to work something out, but if the understanding is, well, but we are both trying to go back to Godhead, so let's work it out. It's possible, but that must be the will. So this is sacrifice. The husband knowing what his duty is, and then if he doesn't do well, then he may get scrammed by the wife. Well, okay, I didn't do right things. Then she got on my case. All right, whatever. Next time I should do it right. Then, knowing that everything gets worked out, then they can help each other, and they can actually, at the end of the Grihastha Ashram, they can both go back to Godhead. But if the ego is so great that we cannot do that, we cannot perform the sacrifice, we cannot sacrifice the ego for the other, then the relationship will not work. No, he says, well, who are you to tell me? No, I'm your guru. I have to tell you everything and you have to follow. If you don't, then no, just go. Won't work. And the same, if the wife doesn't want to follow, knowing that what the husband advises, what the husband arranges is good, then it will not work. Both of them must sacrifice by performing their own duties, and they can go back to Godhead. If that's there, then that's a perfection. Because at the end of the Grihastha Ashram, what happens? By performing the sacrifice, then we will find out that actually it was all useless, right? Because the material relationships are not the goal. The material relationships are just a stepping stone. It's just the beginning to understand what the relationship is. But where is the real relationship? The real relationship lies between us as the jivas and the Supreme Lord. But how do we, in our conditioned state, even can not try to comprehend that what actually it is? We have no understanding. Then we will just take it, well, whatever my mind dictates me, whatever the senses want to do, this is what I should do. That's the illusion. That's the bewildered state. But in that state, how do we even try to get elevated? Okay, we may open Shastra. Okay, if I study this Veda, then I will be perfect. And by studying that, we get even more bewildered. Because, oh, I don't like this passage. Oh, I like this. Okay, see, here, no, actually it is said that one can eat meat. Okay, so that like that, so I'll eat that and I'll follow the Shastra. Completely bewildered. We don't know what we are following. Why? We need a guru. So the guru must open our eyes. So then in the material world, we have the mother as the first guru, then the father, the teacher, and then the spiritual master who actually leads us through the, you know, the material world out. He leads us back to Godhead. So only through him we can actually understand the Shastra. Srila Vyasadeva, you know, wrote the Vedas. Okay, but he wrote it for the purpose to show Krishna is supreme. But he wrote everything in it. And then, based on discussion with his guru, that he understood it's there, but it's not clear. So then he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. And in Bhagavatam, it's very clear. Bhagavatam shows us all the possible activities in our life, and it shows us how we can connect them to the Lord. So Srimad Bhagavatam is all about sacrifice. How to perform sacrifice properly. Now, anything which, any topic which you want to address, it's in the Bhagavatam. So it's not that Bhagavatam is now 5,000 years old and no, therefore it's not relevant to this age, or there are kings and now we have presidents, so then that doesn't apply. The meaning, the details may change, but the principles will never change. The jivas are the servants of the Lord. That's the principle. The duty of the jiva is to always remember the Lord and never forget the Lord. That's a principle that never changes. But how do we apply it? That may, according to the time, place and circumstance, change. But the principle never. So we perform devotional service. Now, how do we do devotional service? The details may be different. We are here in Mayapur, then we go freely outside, no chant, no holy name, do Harinams. Great. Now we are in Dubai, we cannot go on the street and then chant publicly. Okay, so we will have a house program. But the duty of the human beings to serve the Lord won't change. We perform devotional service. And this is our sacrifice. So, based on that, then we can serve the Lord. Because, see, devotional service is not actually the result. Now, okay, we are building a new temple. The result which comes out as a temple, that's not the devotional service. Devotional service is the performance of, okay, building the temple, the activity itself. Because we have to arrange the place, we have to arrange the material, we have to arrange the people. So that is going on. And to do that, we have to be conscious of what are we building, what are we doing. If we are conscious, we are building the temple for Krishna, then yes, Krishna is the center. And then we know, okay, so Krishna, he has to be here, he has to have enough space on the altar, he needs to have so many arrangements, and the devotees wants to see him, so that the kirtan hall must be big, and then the prasadam hall, because so many devotees will come, there must be beautiful gardens, because we are going to the procession with Krishna, and all these things must be considered. But that only it's possible if we consider Krishna in the center, then we can do it Krishna conscious. If we don't consider Krishna, then we will just think, okay, just we will build something and just so then it suits some purpose. But if it's Krishna not the purpose, then it will be very difficult to make it pleasing for everybody, pleasing for Krishna. So, and Once we perform the devotional service and that temple is built, right, then that's not it. That's not the goal. That's one step. Now what happens to the temple? Now the worship must start, because we got the temple. But who the temple is for? For the Lord. So then Lord comes and we have to worship Him. And we have to create all facilities, everything for Him, so then He is comfortable being worshipped by us. The devotees, pilgrims, come, visit, they must be comfortable. Prasad distribution, preachings, harinams, that's all part of the temple. So that way, then everything is successful. It continues, it never stops. You see, in Vrindavan, then Govindaji's temple was built. But that was not the goal. The devotional service was to perform, was to build a temple for Govindaji, but the activity of building a temple. Now, Govindaji allowed, you know, to be broken. It's what to do, it's the Lord's will. We did what we could. Now, if He wants to break it, it's His will. We will take care of Him wherever He is. Whatever He wants to do, we must perform this activity. We cannot start lamenting, oh, I spent so much time with this and it got broken. Why did you do it? Who are we to question the Lord? He is giving us another opportunity to again perform devotional service. So it's a blessing. It's a blessing to us that we can do something again and again. And that we have to understand. So this is sacrifice. That's something which, as soon as we understand, then we see the conclusion of the Shastra. Then we can see what devotional service is. Then we can never forget Krishna and always remember Him. But if we don't know what to do and how to do it, how it will be possible? So, Krishna, now, with the help of Mahamaya, then He gives us many obstacles. He gives us any problems, many, to solve. And sometimes we really get bewildered, thinking, that's too much. No, I can't do it. But we can. Krishna will not give us anything which we will not be able to overcome. But we have to have proper consciousness. We have to have the determination for it. So due to the relationship that which we want to establish, then we perform the sacrifice. Through that sacrifice, then we can elevate ourselves in the relationship. We can understand more of what actually Krishna wants from us. And how is it, how we can serve Him better than now. So that way we develop ourselves, and that way we start to understand what is our goal. We have to see, we have to know what's our goal. Otherwise, how we are going to achieve it? So, for that, how do we come to know all this? So as we said, Guru must be there. So then Guru, what he does? He is going to educate us. So mother, she teaches us how to eat, how to sleep, how to do all the activities which we need, for our life. If we wouldn't do that, if we wouldn't learn, if we don't learn how to go to the toilet, right? Then what happens? If we don't know, then if we don't know If we don't learn when we are small and then we don't know when we are old, then we will be probably quite embarrassed that we just don't know. So mother's role is very important. Father's role is very important. The teachers. So everybody in the line of the authorities of that particular living being, it's very important. But the most important is the spiritual master, the guru, who gives the instructions of how to transcend this material world. But it's a process. So through the process of education, we can learn. We can learn to understand how we transcend this material world, get out of here, and so then we can start doing what we are supposed to do, and that is serving the Lord. So it's only possible if we are decided that we want to do. And to be decided that we want to do and to understand how, that's why the education. So education is not just the knowledge. Well, we can learn all the shlokas in the Bhagavad Gita, right? By heart, we can recite them. We can even learn the translations, okay. But that's not it. No, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going on the South Indian tour, then he was walking with devotees, there were also the learned brahmanas and so many scholars. And they came close to one person, he was crying. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, do you know why is he crying? And then they came, he was holding Bhagavad Gita upside down and he was crying. He said, oh, he doesn't know how to read, that's why he's crying. They were laughing at him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I'm not so sure. So he came to him. Why are you weeping? What's the problem? And he said, I feel it is so wonderful. It's so wonderful of the Lord, who is the Supreme. He has everything and he can have anything which he wants. He has everybody serving him. But he comes to this world to serve his devotee, Arjuna. And that struck me that he is the Supreme. He must be the Supreme. Because nobody else could do that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hearing that, then he embraced him and he said, yes, you truly understood the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. That's the conclusion. So if we learn so many things, we learn so many shastras, we learn, but we don't know the conclusion, we don't know the essence, we cannot connect it to Krishna, it's useless. Now you can go on internet, you can search anything. But if you don't know how to connect it to the Lord, it's pointless. It will only be an obstacle in your life because you don't know how to use it anyway. And if you use it, you get the karma for it. It's not worth it. So education must not only teach how to actually learn, how to get the knowledge, but the education must show us how do we actually perform, how to realize what we have learned. Realization means we connect the knowledge which we know with our activities in our life. We learn. Okay, like you see, small children, they learn language. First is mama, papa, right? Okay, great. So that's the first thing they learn. But with that, they can express anything they want. How the intonation, the the urgency of the call, the voice, the strength of the voice, how fast they say it, with anything, with the emotions, they can get through actually to express anything they want. And because they are determined to communicate, because for them it's important, they want to say something, they want to get something, they need to communicate. So then they have urgent need, so therefore they have determination to learn that. So when they hear some other words, they don't mind, there is no false ego that, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, so maybe I should not say it. No, it's, they say it, and when they say it, may sound funny, but everybody just takes it, it's okay, no problem, I understand. And that way, then they learn. And then they figure out, oh, I was saying this word for so long, wrong. Okay, so I'll just correct it, no problem. Because of the false ego being very minimal. So then they do it. They do it, they learn, and through that process, they develop their skill. But the skill, it's not their goal. They want to develop how to communicate. So they want to develop to communicate with the mother, with the father, with the people around, so then they can get what they want. So that's how it should work. So they not only learn, but they use it. So they will learn what they want to use. And then by constant usage, they become better and better in it. So education must be like this, that we learn, but we don't want to just learn, just to know. We need to know the way, how we actually going to use it in our life. So we need contemplation. So first is Shravana. Shravana means that we acquire the knowledge, but that's not it. Then Manana, we contemplate. Whenever we have time, we use the power of contemplation, thinking, okay, this is how I'm going to use it. I see, there is a cup. So what can I do with the cup? Right? So, okay, this is cup, and then what? I should eat it? No, it's not for eating. Okay, so I'll throw it away? No, this is pour water inside so you can drink. So then, okay, now I realize. So this is a cup, and it's for drinking. So next time I see cup, so then I will see this is for drinking. And there may be so many types of cup, so many shapes. So the realization of cup can be small, can be big, different shape, different metals, it can be different materials. So the realization gets greater and greater as much as we use it. So that's the purpose of the education. So the education must show us how can we contemplate and then how it is possible to apply the knowledge which you have learned in your life. Then, by doing so, performing the sacrifice that you are going to use it for somebody, you are going to use it for developing relationships. Then you can actually succeed and you can successfully say that you are educated. Otherwise, if that's not there, then there is a lack of education. It's not complete. So a person who is educated, highly learned person, as Rupa Goswami defines, is someone who has great knowledge and good character. Character is important for to know how to apply the knowledge. So the character is connected with the realization. So that person only, it's actually highly learned person. So we should strive for it. We should try our best to contemplate and to always try to see in every activity in our life, how are we going to use it in our life? Whatever we do, we come to the temple, what do we do with it? Of course, we see friends, we talk, but that's not the main. The main should be Krishna is there, he's the center. I am coming to see how is he dressed, what is he going to know what activity is he performing, how does he look. That's important for us. And then that we have friends there, yes, we do it together. So this is even enhances that activity of our relationship with the Lord. So that we go and eat. So how do we connect that? So we eat Krishna Prasad. Before eating, then we should remember Krishna. We should honor the Prasad. So then we remember the Lord in every activity, whatever we do. And be it whenever and wherever. So if we can perform that, we can do that, then we will be successful. Any questions? Yes.
The learning process is very slow. And sometimes we get the same lesson over and over and over again. So what is the cause of the ignorance that remains even in the face of so many enlightening experiences?
Okay, so the learning process, how does learning process work? It's no matter what, we have to start with some faith. We have to have, when we are born, there is nothing else than we can have faith in our mother, she's going to take care of us. If she leaves us somewhere, then what can we do? We have to have faith that somebody else will. But based on that faith, then what happens? That she, as a good mother, she takes care of us. So we are hungry, and then we start crying. And then she comes and she feeds us. So then we know, well, she is going to feed us, so she takes care of us. So we will feel very comfortable, because when we are hungry, we can just cry, she comes, she feeds us. So that will give us a realization. I can cry, and then she will come running, feeding me. So that's great. So that, with that realization, then we will think of other ways. With determination, we will actually see and have greater faith that yes, she will take care. Whenever I'm hungry, she will take care of me. So the faith must be, it's there. But it's not enough if we don't have determination to develop it farther and farther. Because the development of what we have, what we call the faith, then leads to realization. That the realization that yes, it works. That yes, it works. It gives us even more determination. Oh, that's good. It was working. Let's do it again. And now I know more how to do it. So with the greater faith that yes, that was working, let's do it again, we go and we will get into a different depth of realization. Somebody instructs us, okay, we get sick. So we go to the doctor. And then he gives us a medicine. And we take the medicine. And it worked. So next time we are sick, it's very likely we will go to the same doctor because we have faith that he will take care of us. But if the medicine didn't work, then next time we get sick, maybe we will look for somebody else. So then the learning process is based on our determination, how much actually we want to know, how much we want to get. See, the traditional way is that the teacher teaches the student only the basics, whatever he needs to know to survive in his life. But then it's up to the student to contemplate on what he has learned, and then he will see, and he will come back to the teacher asking, but you see, I thought about it,